Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I'm your host, Kelly Kopp, published photographer, New York City tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
With me today, I have our friend, Giuseppe Federici.
Correct. Well done.
Perfectly said. I was wondering if I'd say that correctly. He is an award-winning culinary content creator, author of a vegan cookbook, and he loves his Nonna.
Nonna.
How do I say it?
Nonna. Oh, the American way is Nonna, to be fair. A lot of people do say that.
I want to say it in Italian.
Nonna.
Nonna.
Or you can call her Marianna if you want.
Marianna. That's her name, correct?
Marianna, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Giuseppe. Or do you prefer Seps?
Seps or Giuseppe. Actually, my family also call me Joe, but that's only when I'm in trouble.
I read that.
So, yeah.
So, Joe's not a good thing.
No, you can't.
You're in trouble.
Joe. Seps or Giuseppe is fine.
Seps, awesome.
Yeah.
And so, Seps is short for Giuseppe, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then Giuseppe means Joe in Italian.
Oh, nice. Nice. Do you want to tell us about where you're from, real quick, and a little bit about your story?
So, I grew up in a very small town called Stoke-on-Trent. Not really known for much other than pottery and Robbie Williams, if you've heard of Robbie Williams.
Of course, yeah.
It's known for those things. And also my nonna, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not far from Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
And born and raised there, but definitely with a strong sort of Italian identity. So grew up around my nonna. Both my parents are from Italy. And I moved to London about 5 years ago. So yeah, that's sort of like where I was born and raised. And then... do you want me to tell you a little bit about sort of like how I got into the content space?
Yeah, I'd love to hear how you got into the content space. So you were born in Italy and then you moved?
No, I was actually born in England, yeah. And so I'm kind of like second generation Italian.
Oh, I got you.
My parents were also born in England, but both of their parents were born in Italy. So they came over like 70 years ago. My grandparents actually had like an Italian restaurant and all that.
Right.
But sadly they retired before when I was like two or three, so I never got to see it. So one of my dreams is actually to sort of reopen an Italian restaurant with the same name, the same sort of decor, but in London, obviously like fully plant-based.
Nice. Yeah.
But that's like a 5-10 year goal.
And so you are vegan, correct?
Yes.
Is that also vegetarian?
No. So vegetarian is basically like no meat and no fish and things, but sometimes I'll have eggs and dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas vegan is like no animal products whatsoever. So like no fish, no milk, no cheese, no butter, which is sometimes very hard to explain, especially if you're in like an Italian restaurant.
Right.
And they're like, what do you mean no Parmesan, etc.?
So you're strictly vegan?
Yes. So the term is definitely sort of loose in terms of how strict you want to be. Sometimes people will not wear like or use sort of shampoo that's tested on animals, etc.
Oh,
so there's like the line is very blurred.
Right.
But the definition of veganism is just like as far as practical as you can, avoiding any animal exploitation. So for me, primarily, that's my diet, but obviously I try to do it in other areas as well.
As a lifestyle around.
But it's impossible to be like 100% vegan in my eyes, because we don't live in a vegan world. So even buying vegetables from the store or walking on the street, you're going to contribute to some sort of animal like death or exploitation, et cetera.
Interesting. And so do you ever... so you're 100% vegan, correct? So you never sneak off to McDonald's for
diet-wise.
You know, and...
although McDonald's do a great plant burger. I don't know if they have it in the US, but they have it in London.
I'm not sure, but you know what? I just saw your YouTube videos. I think it was Burger King and McDonald's, correct?
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see, you know, to see you rate a fast food restaurant here in the United States.
Was it in the UK? Yeah,
I thought it was in the UK. I wasn't sure. But I watched it and I was like, wow, I was fascinated to see what you would say about it as fast food. But, you know, you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't be like, everyone loves fast food. Like, it tastes good. Obviously, it's not super healthy, but it's so great that these big establishments are sort of catering to the demand.
Right.
There's definitely lots of arguments about whether or not it is actually good for the whole vegan movement.
Right.
For me, I think it's a great thing that these chains are offering plant-based options. The real question is whether or not that it's the meat eaters buying them or if it's the vegans buying them. Because if it's just the vegans buying them, then they're making more money. They're widening their sort of market.
Right.
Whereas ideally, it's the reason why they have them on offer is so that meat eaters eat them. And the only way they're going to get them to do that is if they taste the same or the better and they cost the same or less.
Right.
Because if not, then people will just stick with the 99p burger, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's smart. Very smart mm-hmm. marketing. I don't know if you know this, but I myself, I do eat very healthy. Sometimes I eat like a vegetarian or a vegan, mm-hmm. but I do for the most part, as my audience knows mm-hmm. too, that I eat pretty healthy mm-hmm. too. So I have the idea of me switching to being a vegan is there.
Yeah. I mean,
I've thought about it and it's something I truly mm-hmm. possibly just may do.
It's interesting because obviously there is definitely a synonymous sort of thought between veganism and health.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they actually are two completely different things. So a whole food plant-based diet is sort of what people think when they think of like the green juices, the mm-hmm. healthy food, the salads, which is obviously a very healthy diet. But veganism at its core has actually nothing to do with the food. It's just all about the animal rights and refusing to like contribute to the animal ethics.
Oh, interesting.
And so with that, you can eat junk food all day and still be a vegan, but obviously you wouldn't be a very healthy vegan. So generally, like, we think veganism is like synonymous with healthy food, but it's absolutely not.
Like I just said, exactly.
But it's not. But that's great that you want to be more healthy. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about it is that...
But my perspective is exactly what you are describing. Yeah.
The good thing about it is if you do want to become more healthier, even though obviously you already are super healthy, but you don't have to be 100% vegan to be super healthy. You can just eat mostly whole foods and less processed foods, etc. So yeah, it's important to like note that sort of difference for sure.
Well, I think New York, and I talk about it to my audience too, you know, on my live videos and stuff. I the city makes me eat healthy mm-hmm. too, because it, you know, makes my body run smoother. You know, we're busy. We're running around the city, you know, walking 20, 30,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to eat healthy to maintain the exercise I do around the city every day too. So, but yeah.
It's obviously so hard in cities like this when there's so much processed food and junk mm-hmm. everywhere.
How did you get into being a vegan? What was the reason you became a vegan?
Yeah, so originally, speaking about it, it was originally for the health reasons. Mm-hmm. So my dad got diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, which is like one of the worst ones, but also one of the most common around the world. And I did lots of research and pretty much everything pointed back to how it can be reduced. You can reduce your risk if you cut out meat, especially red meat and processed meat.
What year did he was he diagnosed?
So this was about like 8 or 9 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I did so much research and basically everything pointed back to how a plant-based diet can help prevent or even in some cases reverse leading killers. So not just colon cancer, but also heart disease, stroke, etc. And I essentially tried to convince him, and after like one or two years of him being sick and having different kinds of like chemotherapy, which he refused, and operations, he managed to go plant-based. And whether he was lucky with his operation or whatnot, he basically got like 6 months remission, and then he stayed plant-based, felt better, and then it was a year remission, and now it's been like 7 years of him being in remission. So he's fully cancer-free, still plant-based.
Wow, that's amazing. Good for
my whole family are plant-based as well. So
Right. Obviously
it might not necessarily work for everyone, but we feel great. I've always said I'm happily going to stay on this diet. If I ever need to consume any animal products for urgent health reasons, I will. But right now I get my blood tested every year and they're better than the average person and I'm feeling great. So I don't see a need to.
So you and your family believe that his diet, being a vegan, is what saved his life?
Definitely. Absolutely. And it's also preventing them from getting any other further serious illnesses.
That's amazing. Sure. And so you're the one who started this.
Yeah. The catalyst.
Yeah, the catalyst for going vegan for your whole mm-hmm. family. And everyone joined in and everyone's healthy now. That's fascinating. That's great to hear.
Yeah, and it's what shocked me so much as well is like, for example, red meat is a class 2 carcinogen and processed meat like bacon, mm-hmm. salami, ham, which is foods that people feed their children like 3 times a day mm-hmm. all over the world, is a class 1 carcinogen, which is the same class as like cigarettes and asbestos.
Like lunch meat too. Exactly. I don't know if they call it that.
Yeah, lunch meat. Yeah. And cigarettes are like, they have warning labels on saying like mm-hmm. this causes cancer, whereas like a pack of bacon wouldn't, and they're arguably just as risky.
Yep. I mean, even everything that I pick up at the grocery store, I look at the ingredients, mm-hmm. and if it isn't just one ingredient, mm-hmm. or you know, I won't buy it. If that makes sense. You know, it can just be like potatoes or water, mm-hmm. or it can't have any of these big words.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just how I live my life. So. you know, I think it's important to eat healthy.
Definitely.
So you wrote a vegan cookbook.
I did with my nonna.
I love that. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it all started. So obviously I started my page about a year or so after I went plant-based, after mm-hmm. I went vegan, just because I was fed up of people always asking me, like, what do I eat on a plant-based diet? Where do you get your protein? Mm-hmm. So I started to take photos of what I eat. And then that sort of developed a passion for like food photography and videography. Mm-hmm. And I'd always had like a creative eye anyway. And then when Instagram introduced videos, I started to do reels. And then it took off, but it took me like 4 or 5 years of it just being a hobby to get a decent following of like 10,000 followers.
Yep.
And then I introduced my grandma to the scene. So I was basically...
Your Nona.
Yeah, one day it was a Sunday, we were having lunch and I thought I might as well film her today making her pasta sauce because it tastes amazing and it's so hard to like recreate. We've always tried to make it at home and it's never tasted as good. So I thought if I film it, I know exactly sort of the process she's doing. And it was never even really the intention to sort of like post loads of videos, but I filmed mm-hmm. it, I edited it and had a bit of fun with it and posted it and it did pretty well. And then mm-hmm. I did another one and it did even better. It got like 5 million views, which was the pasta with garlic and olive oil.
Yep.
And then ever since then, we just kind of, I did more and more. My page grew, got the attention of some local news and like radio stations, but nothing huge. And then we got nominated for an award called the Fortnum Mason Creative of the Year Award.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
And I didn't know I was going to win.
What is that award?
It's just like a prestigious sort of retail store in the UK, Fortnum mm-hmm. Mason, and they have these awards every year
for like
the book industry. So mm-hmm. we won that. I took Nona on stage, which was great. And on that night, we got chatting to a book publisher and a TV producer, and the TV producer got us on like this live segment called BBC Saturday Kitchen like 2 weeks later.
I was going to ask you. I saw the BBC
interview.
Which
was very, very cool. And so, winning that award that night was definitely sort of like a fork in the road for my career, because it's where I met the book publisher who got us a book deal and the TV slot, which was amazing.
I saw also that you interviewed Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner.
I did,
I love those two.
Yeah, I got a very cool opportunity through management and through Disney to sort of interview them for the Lion King film.
That's pretty cool.
And I tried to weave in the whole environmental sort of vegan aspect into it, which is very sneaky, but I definitely caught them off guard, I think.
I thought it was smart, too. At the end, you asked them a question. I thought it was about that, too. And it was
just about how I basically said, like, animals can talk in the film, but they can't in real life.
Right.
What would you think they would say about the state of the world, given that animal agriculture is, like, destroying our planet?
And they answered right away, too.
Basically,
Well, I love, too, that you met King Charles and Queen Camilla.
We did, yes.
Camilla, right?
Yeah. That was definitely a highlight for Nona as well. We got invited to sort of celebrate their coronation.
That's pretty amazing.
Which is very, very cool. Yeah. So my Nona can now say she's met the king and queen.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, does your grandmother, she speaks English, correct?
Very, very broken. Yeah. Not great. She's lived in the UK for almost 70 years and she still doesn't speak, because she's always just worked in like the kitchen and restaurants mm-hmm. or like cooked for people and fed people and stayed at home talking to her Italian family. So she's never really had to be out there.
I think that's why, a big part of why she's so appealing to the audience too, because it's adorable, her accent. And
it's like you've just taken her from Sicily and
she's really sweet. She's really cute. I think she's, I think it's really smart to have her in your videos
Thank you.
I mean, you're amazing, first of all. And then to add your Nona.
Most people do say to me they only follow me for my Nona, which is absolutely fine.
Well, you're both amazing.
Thank you.
So, can you give us a little background about your Nona real quick?
Yeah. So my Nona and Nonno, they came over to the UK like 65 years ago mm-hmm. From Sicily. And then originally my granddad was working in the mines. And then mm-hmm. after about 4 or 5 years, he set up his own like businesses. Like he did an ice cream truck, ice cream factory, and then eventually a fish and chip shop
mm-hmm.
And a fish and chip truck. And then like a chicken shop, and then eventually an Italian restaurant, which they had for about 25 years. And then when I was about 3 or so, they sort of like retired because they had 6 children. So they just decided to pack it in and just raise the 6 children. And now here we are. Yeah, which is crazy. And obviously one of those children is my mom.
That's amazing. Yeah. And sometimes I see your grandpa, right? How do you say, is it Nono?
Nono, yeah. So with an O at the end is granddad, masculine, and with an A is the, and then Nonni with an I is grandparents.
Oh, wow. You taught me a few new words.
So like panini is actually plural. And then one panini is actually called panino.
Let's take a quick break. Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young. I'm an actor and a producer. I've been working with the global humanitarian organization, CARE, and I am so excited to invite you along for my new podcast, She Leads with CARE. Each week, you'll meet some incredible women who have changed their lives and their communities.
We raise our voices for people who don't raise their voices to defend themselves.
Listen to She Leads with CARE now on your favorite podcast platform. New episodes every Tuesday.
I did not. Did you know that, Jay?
Yeah.
This is a nice Italian lesson.
That's it, yeah. That's the extent of my Italian lessons, unfortunately.
Well, it's really good. I've learned a lot today in Italian. So let's talk about your book real quick, Italian Cooking with Nona. It is an amazing, beautifully made book.
Thank you.
And I love it. I think it's very well made. As a professional photographer myself, I think the photos are incredible. They're beautiful.
Yeah, we got very lucky. We got the pretty much the best photographer in the world called David Loftus. A shout out, David Loftus.
I love it. And this photo too, with the yellow car.
Yeah, that's my uncle's car, which is very cool. So my nonna has four sisters, but they all live in Sicily. So it was really special to me that we got to include them in the cookbook. They all have their own recipe. They all have photos in it.
It's amazing. The photos are beautiful. I think I was blown away how beautiful it is and how. It's so easy to read, you know. I think the script is perfect. I think tons of photos showing the food.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite shoots for sure.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the script is amazing. The recipes are really simple. I mean,
yeah, so I wanted to keep it super simple because obviously people don't love complex recipes. Like they're nice to look at and they're nice to eat.
Right.
But if you want to make them at home, like no one's got time to make a 3-hour recipe.
So if you were, I'm going to change the subject for a second. If you were, let's going to do a dinner party in New York City and, you know, we have really small spaces.
Yeah.
What would you make? What would you do if you threw a dinner party for New Yorkers?
Yeah, for sure. So for starters, I would definitely do this thing called melanzane alla parmigiana, which I know sounds like a weird Harry Potter spell, but.
I love it. I know it exactly. I love it.
Yeah. So a Parmigiano is just super easy. But then also I have these things called involtini di melanzane, which are like these rolled up sort of aubergine things. And you can stick a toothpick in them and then they're great for like party things like that.
Real quick. Aubergine is eggplant, right?
Yeah.
I actually really never knew that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we're in the US.
I heard it said recently and someone was talking to me and said aubergine. And I said, I don't even know what you're saying right now.
Literally. And then we also have courgette, which is zucchini.
So aubergine is eggplant.
Yep.
And
courgette is zucchini.
I wonder why that is.
And then coriander is cilantro.
That I may know a little. Yeah. I actually didn't know
and
that.
And rocket arugula, which is the same as Italian, actually. Arugula.
Really? Did you know any of this, Jay? I did not know. Yeah.
But yeah, the rolled up aubergine things definitely is a great starter. And also this thing called panelli. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's very typical Sicilian street food. And what's great about all the loads of the food as well in the book is it's a very typical Sicilian food, but it's also just naturally vegan anyway. So panelli are like a chickpea fritter made from chickpea flour and water. Mm-hmm. That's it. So super cheap. So easy to make. You can freeze them and they're just a great snack. You deep fry them and they go like crispy with some salt and lemon juice on. They're really good.
And so are these quick and easy or do you need to prep?
Well, you can either prep it the day before, but like I said, because you can freeze them, you can make them in advance and then just serve them on the day as well.
So what do you think of New York as you're meandering around the cities? Is this your first time here?
It's my like fourth or fifth time.
Oh, your
time
fourth
in New York.
Time here.
No, I've only ever been like for a few days at a time, but I absolutely love New York. Right now it's freezing cold.
It's really cold.
And yes, I think today is like minus something. It's minus like 5 degrees Celsius.
Right, because it's about 29 or 30, so it'd be negative for you guys.
It's negative Celsius, which is very, very cold for even us Brits, which is crazy. But I love New York. There's so much sort of incredible stuff to see and do, and I've kind of, now that I've done all the touristy stuff, I like coming back to just do sort of the more cool stuff. Like this morning I went to a really cool sauna and ice bath place in Flatiron.
Oh wow.
And just checking out all the vegan spots. There's so much. I mean, London has loads of vegan spots, but I feel like they just do it different in New York. Like it's really cool.
Do you have a favorite pizza place, a vegan pizza place in New York City?
I do, yes. It's called John's of 12th Street. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's on 12th Street.
Oh, nice.
And it's not a fully vegan restaurant. It's like they have regular food and then just a vast vegan menu. And it's like an old, like, mafia restaurant. Like, they have candles in there, which are, like, this big. That are, like,
I love that.
1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And they do the best sort of vegan pizza and pasta. But then there's this other one called, I think it's Carlotta or Carbone or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chain of vegan restaurants, and they're really good as well.
Nice, nice. How about a bagels? You got any good bagels places?
Yeah, so I have a couple. Leon's Bagels.
I love that place, yeah.
So I don't know when this is out, but this weekend I have a collab with Leon's Bagels. So
oh, you do?
If you're in town, you should definitely check it out.
When is it?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it's basically an
You'll be there all 3 days?
I'm going to be there on Saturday, but the bagel will be there all weekend. And it's like an Italian fried
bagel. I love
that bagel.
You said, I'll be there on Saturday, but the bagel will be there all weekend.
Yeah.
You're the star.
That's it. But yeah, it's like an Italian flag bagel. So we have like pesto marinated kale for the green, and then like vegan tofu cream cheese for the white, and then tomatoes. Like
that's pretty amazing. So you're there Saturday, you said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And do you know the address? If you don't, it's okay.
Yeah, Mulberry Street in the morning. Yeah.
Mulberry Street. And
are you into your running? Because I'm doing like a run in the morning and then bagels after.
Am I into running?
Yeah.
That I'm not.
Okay, maybe you can come after we've done the run then. Yeah.
I'm into walking.
Like 10 a.m.
Yeah, I'd love to show up and do a reel as
okay,
well.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think I'll send you the details, but it'll be
like 10 a.m. Are you doing any other events in New York City while you're here?
Yeah, so tomorrow I'm doing sort of a pop-up, like book signing, meet and greet, like food, drinks and snacks at Italy.
That's amazing.
Flatiron as well.
Oh, Swingbine.
So I did a big celebration in London, at Italy London, for my book launch over there, and it had like 300 people. It was amazing.
Good for you.
My nonna came down, like it was a big like family party and friends, which was really cool. So yeah, I'm basically doing a much, much more scaled down version of that here.
But were you just in Australia for something?
I was, yeah. That was just for a bit of like travels and friends' birthdays and stuff. I have a few friends out there. So it was crazy coming from that heat in Sydney to here.
Oh, I bet, because they're in midsummer, and I heard they're having like a really hot
summer.
Yeah,
it was
right
really hot.
This, I feel like this is one of our coldest summers, too.
Really?
I mean, coldest winters.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, because New York's always cold this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's been... I mean, I think... Because it snowed in December,
yeah,
you know, which is beautiful for Christmas, but it never snows in December.
Yeah.
So it's been a long, cold winter. I think we're kind of ready for spring.
Yeah, I'm keen to come back to New York when it's... I'm keen to come back to New York when it's warmer for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I can take you to some awesome places too that, you know, you probably know the city well by now, but I mean, the Brooklyn, have you ever walked the Brooklyn Bridge on a summer night?
I have, the sunrise there is really cool.
Oh,
as well.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you. I have some questions I'm going to ask you real quick.
Go ahead.
Because some vegan questions, you know, because I think some people need to be educated about some vegan.
Yeah, I mean,
terms.
I want to.
And even myself. Go ahead.
I once did some like fun street interviews in Times Square, just asking people if they could name like three vegan foods.
Oh, and, did this?
Yeah. And people were like fish, tuna, like
really?
Cottage cheese. I'm like, yeah.
When was this? When did you do this?
This was February last year.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I would love to. I gotta look at social media. So what does plant-based mean?
So plant-based these days basically means it's kind of synonymous with vegan. But it's specifically towards the food element of it. So like anything that's a plant-based dish or a plant-based ingredients, it's 100% vegan essentially, which is quite confusing because it says based. So you'd think it's like majority plant-based, but yeah, these days plant-based means 100% vegan if it's in the food. But some people also sort of, I guess, identify it as plant-based, which means they only sort of are vegan when it comes to their diet. They don't really explore the further ethics with like, I don't know, their travel, their clothes, their
the whole lifestyle that I mentioned.
So it's kind of like a version of veganism, but it's just solely on the diet.
You know, I'm glad you had to reiterate on that too from my question earlier. You know, I didn't realize that being a vegan was a lifestyle as compared to just eating. So you taught me something specifically. I mean, I'm a big salad person, but I throw I don't know if throw is the right word. I add chicken.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big chicken fan. So what would be a substitute for chicken? Like if I, you know, instead of eating.
Yeah. So one of my favorite places to get protein on a plant-based diet is tofu or tempeh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if you've heard of tempeh, but it's.
So what is tofu? What is tempeh then?
Yeah. So tofu and tempeh, they're very, very similar actually. They're both made from soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've seen like edamame in like any Asian restaurant.
Love edamame.
Soybeans basically the same sort of that, but it's a bit younger version of the edamame bean. And so instead of it being green, it's like a white, yellow color. And when you cook them and you like add water and you heat them, they basically turn into like a milky liquid. And then like the stuff on top of that, you can like press really firm and you get tofu. And then the beans you can use to make tempeh, which is kind of like a similar to tofu, but it's more beany and it's right. more like earthy. Mm-hmm. And they both have like about 20% protein. Tempeh has a little nice. Bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a really, really good alternative. They also have like all the amino acids and lots of fiber and vitamins as well. So, yeah.
And so then you can add flavoring as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of like chicken. You can add soy sauce. My go-to sort of seasoning when I'm making tofu is just agave syrup for like a sweetener, tofu mm-hmm. for like soy sauce for like a saltiness, and then nutritional yeast, which gives it like a nice cheesiness. And that's like my perfect combo.
Huh. Sounds really good. I haven't really had much tofu or tempeh. Mm-hmm. How do you say it? Tempeh, mm-hmm. but I want to add that to my salad.
Yeah, I mean, so one of my favorite places to go here as well is like, what's a salad place called? Sweet Greens.
Oh, I love it. Love Sweet Greens.
There's also a place called Le Botanist, which
that's
is incredible.
One of my favorite restaurants in the city.
No way. So that's fully
across
vegan.
From Bryant Park is the one I
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
That's fully plant-based and gluten-free as well.
I stumbled across that by accident and I loved it. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. The salad they gave me or whatever, the colors were the most beautiful. Yeah. I'm like, this is healthy because it was so beautiful.
Exactly.
All these bright colors. Like, I think you mentioned that in your book yes. or something or one yeah, of your yeah. videos I saw.
It's amazing. So yeah, highly recommend that. And so yeah, next time you're getting salad, just opt for the tofu instead of the chicken.
I'm glad you've been there too. How do you say it?
Le Botanist. Yeah,
it's so good. This is kind of a sidebar question. How do you say pasta fagioli or whatever that? Because, you know, we do have an Italian restaurant here
yeah.
called Olive Garden. and I, you know, yeah. nothing against Olive Garden. You know, I just, it's in a, you know, Italian restaurant. It's like people love to go there.
Yeah,
but anyway, how do you say it?
So it might be fagioli, which is pasta with beans.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, so fagioli is.
Fagioli.
Yeah, which basically just means like beans.
Yeah. Pasta fagioli. Mm-hmm. I was just curious how to, from a real Italian person, how to specifically say that. Do you ever have a preferred pasta? Because
like pasta shape or dish?
How about just a pasta noodle itself?
Got you.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. And it's rigatoni,
mm-hmm.
which is like.
Yep. I love rigatoni.
Yeah. And it has a hole in the middle because it just absorbs like sauces really well.
And so do you ever lean toward like plant-based pastas?
So most pastas are actually naturally plant-based. So
they are?
Especially if you buy them the dried pasta. Some pasta which you buy from, if it's in like the refrigerator section of a supermarket, mm-hmm. then it's like. Usually fresh pasta and it's quite soft and that has egg in it.
Yeah.
But 99% of the pasta that you get from the store or even any restaurant will just naturally be vegan because it's just wheat flour.
I had no idea. See, you're a plethora.
So then it just depends what sort of sauce you put on top of it, which will make it vegan or not.
That's interesting. I had no idea. Does being a vegan affect what you drink as well?
Yeah. So obviously we don't drink like things like milk et cetera, mm-hmm. but a lot of alcoholic drinks also not vegan. So a lot of wines.
Really?
So this is crazy because when you start looking into it, you start to uncover how many animal products are snuck into. So for example, like Doritos are covered in milk powder because it's like a byproduct of the milk industry, but mm-hmm. it also means that you're more likely to keep eating them because it's like addictive.
Right.
And then things like wine, they aren't considered vegan because it's filtered through fish guts.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So there's definitely more and more like drinks that are suitable for vegans these days, but you do have to look out for some.
Do you drink sodas?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there sodas
I'm partial for like to a Diet Coke every now and again when I'm on the beach. And
are they considered vegan?
Yeah. Most of them are vegan. Yeah.
This is so fascinating to me. You're teaching me so much that I really didn't know. I thought I knew, you know, actually getting ready to talk to you. You know, I did a little bit of research, but you're teaching me.
But this is what I was saying about like the fine line. Like it's difficult to where do you draw the line? Because animals are going to be exploited in all walks of life. So it's, for example, like Aperol Spritz, the typical Italian drink, like some people wouldn't consider that vegan because there's like a tiny extract of food coloring in the drink, which comes from like beetle shells, etc.
Oh, yeah.
So it depends how sort of minuscule you want to go, essentially.
Wow, that's fascinating. Seps, as you know, I was just in Florida for almost a month and I was traveling, and it's really hard to eat healthy when you're traveling, I feel, because you're tired, you're hungry, you just say, forget my healthy diet, I just need to eat and do whatever. So do you have any tips for people who are traveling how to eat healthy or eat vegan? Or...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, traveling can be very, very difficult to sort of stick to any diet and even maintain exercise as well.
I agree.
But I'd say, first off, when you're actually flying, definitely try to pack some like, extra healthy foods because obviously airplane food isn't that great. Sometimes I'll even just go a whole airplane journey without eating and eat when I get to the final destination. But in terms of, yeah, whilst you're actually sort of in a new city, try not to eat out for every single meal is what I would say. Obviously, it's very tempting to like eat out for breakfast, lunch and, mm-hmm. and your dinner. But if you have a fridge in your sort of Airbnb or your hotel room, I had to request one because I didn't have a first. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can set one up. I was like, amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, for example, I always have like a bunch of fruit, like healthy snacks in my fridge right now. I also take oats, or I'll buy some oats in the closest supermarket, and some plant-based milk. And so I'll just make overnight oats for my breakfast, like most mornings.
Nice. But that's what I had.
Sounds super boring, but it's just...
No, that's actually just what I had.
Yeah, it just means that your breakfast is sorted most days, mm-hmm. and you can obviously add any like flavorings or plant-based protein to it. And then obviously there's so many of these like salad places popping up right now. So obviously it's not the most extravagant, but if you want to just maintain healthy, then just pop to one of the salad places.
I'm really happy, you know, about the salad. There are endless... I feel like New York City is really good about having almost endless possibilities to eat vegan items.
Definitely.
I think it's a great...
Even in Whole Foods, like, they have the whole like play upstairs where you can make your own meal, and they have really good like tofu options. And I got these mushrooms from there the other day, which were big like lion's mane mushrooms or oyster mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And they tasted just like chicken, like really good.
That sounds good. You know, when I was traveling too, I actually stayed with my parents. So that was kind of rough. Mm. I mean, I love my parents. They're awesome.
Yeah.
But they're not vegan, or, you know, they like their candy, which can be vegan, like you said.
Yes, of course.
But they're not really vegan.
Yeah.
So I ate a little bit off of my normal, you know, food items. But, mm-hmm. you know, it was good. It was really good to eat with my parents.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't, like, obviously punish yourself too much if you have a few days off.
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask you. You know, earlier I asked if you cheated on your vegan lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't. Like cheat on the vegan diet, but I definitely have some days where I eat more like processed food. But for me, like, I don't, it's weird because because I've done so much research and I've sort of been in the scene for so long, I don't really get sort of tempted to eat the non-vegan foods anymore.
Right.
And also because some of the alternatives are so good, like, I don't miss them. So
completely
if I do
agree.
Fancy a burger, they have Beyond Burger. Like, I don't need to eat the actual meat.
I don't think I've eaten I haven't eaten any fast food like McDonald's or Wendy's or, you know, Burger King since I moved here. So I haven't touched any of that. So I definitely like to eat healthy because, you know what? The next day, if I don't eat healthy, I feel bad.
Yeah.
My body isn't happy.
Yeah. That's same with alcohol line. As well.
Oh, I haven't drank in years. Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, amazing.
Probably since New York is what changed me, actually. Just because I'm so busy here and this is a different life for me and being on the subway and walking 20,000 steps a day. I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't really drank since I moved here.
Amazing.
All right. And I've eaten healthy since the day I moved here.
Amazing.
So the city is really what's made me do it, but I'm so happy.
Yeah.
New York is like, this is what I'm going to do. New York, you know, when I moved here, said to me, you have a plan, but this is my plan for you
in so
many different ways too. So I want to talk about some items on you that I loved in your cookbook that I was looking at. What really caught my eye was the walnut and kale pasta.
Yeah. Love that one.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we have, so there's two, the creamy one or the actual lasagna one, or the bolognese, because I want to tell you about that one anyway, because it's incredible.
Tell us about
so
both,
we have a walnut and sunflower seed bolognese, which is incredible, because it's like, it's so meaty, and it doesn't even use any sort of meat alternatives, like Beyond Mint or something like that. It's just soaked walnuts with sunflower seeds and mushrooms. And when you soak the nuts, they go quite like soft and like lose their crunchiness. And then you drain them, you put seasonings on, you blend it, and it just makes the perfect sort of bolognese sauce with tomato sauce, which is incredible.
It looks so good.
It works really good in the lasagna as well. I've fed it to so many of my non-vegan friends in a lasagna, and they literally say they prefer it to normal lasagna.
I was going to bring amazing. Up the lasagna too, so that worked out perfect. Yeah, I mean, but you know, the walnut and kale pasta, did the visual, the photo.
Yeah, the photos are amazing. That one's like a super nice one because it's a creamy dish. So one great way to make creamy pasta sauces with like vegan foods is with cashews and something called silken tofu, which is what that uses. So
grab my attention, definitely.
Cashews make a really just incredibly creamy sauce, and you wouldn't even tell that it's like not got any dairy in it.
Great. I mean, like I said, the book made me want to eat everything that you made. Obviously, how you create these dishes are incredible.
Thank you.
They're beautiful. They look delicious. I'm sold on every one, like the spaghetti con polpette. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, that one's great. So I grew up basically with my nonna making these little polpetti balls, which are meatballs essentially, yeah. But they're a bit more flattened and they have loads of seasonings in. And so I wanted to recreate that essentially with plant-based version.
So good. Tiramisu?
Yeah, the tiramisu is an absolute winner. Like, everyone loves that. It uses Biscoff biscuits.
I was just going to say, you don't use Ladyfingers.
No, because they are so hard to find vegan ones. They do exist somewhere, but they're like gluten-free and they're not amazing. So I just figured, why not use something that's already naturally vegan and it's so easy to find. They have the coffee flavor in it already. So yeah, Biscoff biscuits are great. It's almost like a cheat as well because it's so much quicker than like getting the actual biscuits.
I think I'm going to make that this week.
Amazing. Yeah, let me know what you think.
I definitely was it roasted Delica? Am I saying that?
Yeah,
right?
Delica pumpkin salad. That's a really good one as well. And then another one is my favorite salad, which is a fennel and orange salad.
Oh, wow.
Fennel and orange just goes so well together, and it's like a typical Sicilian summer salad. So you'd shave the fennel really thinly.
Looks so good. And one more, mac and cheese.
Yeah,
you make an awesome mac and cheese.
Yes, I did. So that's kind of like my go-to when I'm hosting like dinner party and I don't want to do anything like stereotypically Italian. I just make a mac and cheese. And I recently made it for a bunch of friends for Christmas and they loved it as well.
It looks amazing. What are some staples that you need in your pantry that you always have in your pantry at home?
So definitely silken tofu, which doesn't need to be refrigerated, and it's a great sort of soft version of regular tofu, and it can be used in desserts to make like a chocolate mousse or in pasta sauces. And nutritional yeast, which is sort of like a cheesy, inactive form of yeast. So it's not going to make anything rise, but it's just a great way to add a bunch of nutrients and protein as well to a dish.
Nice. And you can get these at Whole Foods, right?
Yeah, Whole Foods. It can be quite expensive, but you can get cheaper versions on like Amazon and stuff.
You know what? It's interesting you said that it can be expensive. I say initially, yes, this is how I feel about eating healthy. You know, which vegan is healthy. People say, oh, eating healthy is expensive, you know, in general, but I feel it really isn't, because when I go shopping now, eating healthy, I get the same things every time, basically, a lot of the same things. Whereas if you don't have a specific type of diet, so to speak, you go outside that box, you have more impulse buying.
Yeah.
You know, you're hungry, you're going to buy all this other stuff in addition, so your cart fills up. Where I always have the exact same amount of food in my cart, so I feel it's not.
And also, it's an investment into your health long term as well.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Because it's going to cost you a lot more in like medical bills.
Completely agree.
You have illnesses and stuff.
Yeah, especially in the US. Here, you know what I mean.
let's not go into that rabbit hole. I know. Insurance.
I know. But the Christmas trifle too.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's Nana's favorite dessert.
Oh, it's beautiful. What is this? What is it again? What's in the Christmas trifle?
So it's like a jelly at the bottom, but naturally jelly isn't vegan because it has gelatin. So we have to get a vegan jelly.
Oh, I didn't know. That.
So another thing that's naturally not vegan. And then we made like a vegan sort of vanilla cake, is like the cake base, and then vegan squirty cream. And
it looks so good. So good. I want to make that. I'm not a good cook though, so. I'll figure it out.
Well, that's the benefit of the recipes in my book. They're so easy to make.
Right. I'll ruin anything though, but I'll try. I'll still do it. You know, I don't care. Okay. So I talked to some, I asked some people on Instagram some questions on what their favorite restaurants or vegan restaurant is here in New York City. And you may have been to one of them. Well, mine is La Botanista. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, La Botanista.
I loved it. I had that salad I told you about. There's Erica said Peace Food. Have you heard of Peace Food?
I've not heard of that one, no.
It's 100% vegan. And it's on the Upper West Side in Union Square.
Okay, amazing.
And in Union Square. So there's two spots. Yeah. So she said it's amazing. Daniel Orr said, I think it's Pusu, P-U-S-U, in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. He said he gladly eats there, and he's not even vegan.
Oh,
and
wow,
it's completely a vegan or vegetarian restaurant on Bedford Avenue.
Yeah.
Sitara Maria said, I know about this one too, which is ABCV.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
They do really good croissants as well.
Yeah. Jean-Georges, right?
Yeah.
Jean-Georges restaurant. Oh, I put one that you like too. Another one is the Little Pizza Parlor in Brooklyn you mentioned in 1 year. That's very cool. Yeah, so those are basically
our friends on Instagram loads more as well.
Well, Erica also said, you know, from Peace Food, which is 100% vegan, she loved the grilled oyster mushroom. Back to the oyster mushroom you said earlier.
Yeah.
Sauteed kale, spiced chickpeas.
Amazing.
Creamy horseradish. So I thought it was cool that people were
Definitely. Yeah, so yeah, some of the stuff in my head, there's Jar Mexicana, which is really good, like Mexican.
Oh, I think somebody mentioned that too.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then Two Boots pizza.
Pizza?
Yeah. They have like two vegan options and they're amazing.
That's a popular pizza place. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have two vegan options and they have like vegan Beyond Sausage and like a veggie one, and they're both really good.
That's good to know. I love the one on the
upper. You can buy it by the slice as well. So it's so good because so many of these pizza places, like if you want a vegan option, you have to buy like the whole pizza. So Two Bits Pizza is really
good.
Which
one do you go to? Do you know which one?
The one that's like, I know what it looks like, but I don't know the area, but it's like, I think it's somewhere.
Yeah, that's okay.
Lower Manhattan.
Yeah, I don't expect you to know the whole city. There's one up on the Upper West Side of where I live, and I love it. Cool. I absolutely love it.
And then also this Sunday, I've actually booked myself in to go to 11 Madison Park.
Oh, so what about 11 Madison Park?
11 Madison Park. So I've booked myself to go into there, which it's like one of the best restaurants
it's
in the world.
It's really nice. A good friend of mine works there, yeah.
It's the only vegan restaurant in the world that has 3 Michelin stars.
Really?
Yep. So they were originally a non-vegan restaurant, and then throughout COVID, the chef decided to make it fully plant-based. And they obviously got a lot of like criticism from the media. And yeah, but now they've like blown up and it's like really hard to get a table.
That's a newer restaurant too. Mm. Yeah, it's really popular. Yeah. They just had the whole block a few months ago, thousands of people were around in line to get like croissant or something.
Yeah, but like, I think they had just like a weekend pop-up, didn't they?
Yeah, it was insane. I was walking with my friend who was walking his dog and we asked them what they were in line for. Yeah.
And then, $20 croissant.
Yeah, and they cut it off and people were upset, but you know. So Seps, what's your favorite item to cook?
Favorite item to cook? Probably, it's my walnut and sunflower seed lasagna, but just because it goes down so well. Yeah, people love it. And you can keep it in the freezer for months as well. And if you ever want some, you just grab a slice.
Nice. What's your favorite quick thing to whip up for somebody if they stop by?
Probably a tofu stir fry.
Oh, nice.
Because I can air fry it, the tofu, to make it nice and crispy in like 10 minutes and then fry some veggies.
What's your ultimate comfort food?
Ultimate comfort food? Probably my nonna's spaghetti with tomato sauce.
Ooh, that sounds so good. Mm. What's the surprising benefit of being plant-based that no one talks about?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So you definitely don't get any sort of, like, I don't know, like, it's just good knowing that I'm not increasing my risk of certain diseases, for example, like the processed meat and things like that with like the meat, but then also like dairy. Like so many people struggle with dairy in terms of like stomach problems or like eczema or like breaking out on your skin. And one thing I noticed when I put out dairy is that like my skin cleared up so much. So that's a big benefit for me as well.
I don't eat dairy at all.
Yeah.
Because it affects my stomach and everything, just like you said. That's interesting you said that.
What's interesting as well with dairy is that obviously it comes from cows and it's designed for baby cows. Mm-hmm. And most of the world is actually lactose intolerant. We just don't realize it until we grow up, basically. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, it makes sense to me because I am lactose intolerant. Yeah. I don't touch any really ice cream, nothing.
Yeah.
Pizza, you know, because it has a lot of cheese on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once in a while a pizza, but it's rare. If you could have any dinner with someone famous,
who would it be?
Who would it be and what would you make?
It would be Billie Eilish. Because she's
really
super cool and she's vegan and her whole family is vegan as well. So I feel like we would get on.
What would you make her?
And I would make her my lasagna with my tiramisu for dessert.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a great answer.
Thank you.
Well, those are my questions for you, my friend. You have a birthday coming up, don't you?
I do, yes.
February 19th.
That's why I've checked myself into 11 Madison Park as a birthday.
Oh, that's your birthday present?
Yeah,
good
to myself.
You. I haven't even been there yet.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go.
One day I will go. I walk by it all the time. Jay, have you been there? We'll go there.
It's very expensive. It's like $400.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd treat myself.
We'll go there for the company Christmas party, Jay.
Yeah.
Just he and I. Well, if you guys come back for our Christmas party.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Seps.
Thank
awesome
you so much for having
for hanging
me.
Hanging out. You know, I mean, this is really good. You taught me so much today.
I thought,
reading about you and I knew somewhat, but you taught me so much more. And I think this is really important for our listeners to hear. And I love that there are people who travel here to New York City and now they also have ideas of restaurants and things to do here in New York City. And also they can do things in their own home, wherever they live in the world, by ordering your book,
absolutely,
which is so amazing. Like I said, it's the best recipes and it's a beautiful cookbook.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very important for me to have a photo next to every recipe.
I mean, it's
so you could see.
I mean, I was so impressed with how many beautiful photos are in there. You know, of you, your Nona, your no-no, your Nona's sisters.
Yep, exactly.
You know, I think they're all in there too. Yeah. You got the whole family.
It's a big family affair.
It's really cool. Well done. Good for you.
Thank you very
Proud
much.
Of you. That's a, that's Thank great. You. And you're a young man and look at what you're accomplishing. You
Thank
know?
You very much.
Awesome. So, Seps, we here at the New Yorkers podcast usually ask our guests what it means to, for them to be a New Yorker. And you are not, unfortunately, a New Yorker. Even though I do say New Yorkers are born every day all over the world, but since you are launching your cookbook and doing the press tour here in New York, we want to know what the culinary scene of New York City means to you.
Yeah, I would say it's so diverse. There's so many great vegan options. And my favorite place to hang out is definitely Little Italy.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I think it would be cool if there was more vegan options in Little Italy. But yeah, the culinary scene, the restaurant scene, the takeout scene is all, yeah, so diverse and incredible. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I love it. I agree, my friend. Thank you for joining us today, Seps, for this week's episode of the New Yorkers podcast. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
Yep. So my handle is Seps, S-E-P-P-S, and my book's called Italian Cooking with Nonna, or if you're in the UK, it's Just Cooking with Nonna, and it's available all over the world.
Once again, I'm your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp, across all my social media.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers podcast, and you can follow the New Yorkers podcast on social media at the New Yorkers podcast.
You can leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you're enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, Valerie Williams, Sue Rothwell, who I just saw recently over Christmas, and Kathy Figarelli for your kind words on the last episode. If you want to be featured at the end of an episode, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or a comment on Spotify.
And thank you, Kelly, MC, Susie Lundberg, and Barbara Rosenfeld for your comments on Facebook.
Have a lovely day, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.